I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Just ahead, the sounds of Philly, the artists speak. But first, as we continue our program focused on Philadelphia, the city with the highest homicide rate of the top 10 cities in the country, we want to take a closer look at creative efforts to help bring suspects to justice. An organization called Captured and Convicted helps families of gun violence victims offer rewards to help the cops arrest suspected killers. Offering money for information works. Kim Woodbury is a co-founder of Captured and Convicted. She's also the sister of Anthony Edwards, a man who was gunned down earlier this year. She joins us from Philadelphia.
Thank you so much.
Kim, first, if I can say just how sorry I am about your brother. That must have been an awful experience.
Yes, it was, and thank you for your condolences.
Why do families of victims need reward money?
Well, there's this thing called no snitching. And money just seems to make people want to, it motivates them to talk. There's no organization that I know of that actually raises the money for you. You have to raise it yourself and take it to them.
So how do you do it? And how did you come up with the idea of these fundraisers?
When my brother was murdered, we didn't have any clue of what we was going to do. I just knew I couldn't sit back and just let this go unsolved. So we decided to have a barbecue and charge $5 for each person to come in to raise reward money, because we kind of knew that someone would say something if the money was involved. So we had a barbecue and it was successful.
Was the person who killed your brother, has he been apprehended? Or the person who is believed to have killed your brother, has he been apprehended?
Yes, both of them have.
And have they gone to trial yet?
No, it's November 21st.
Why does that offer a counter to this so-called no snitching idea? Because I thought it was that the reason that people didn't want to give information is that they were afraid, not that they were just lazy or indifferent or greedy. So if they're afraid, why does the money counteract that?
In my brother's case, I could say the person who decided to tell was a drug user. So I guess it depends on the situation. Either they're afraid or they just need the money, or I don't know why.
How did you come up with the idea for the fundraisers, and what kind of fundraisers do you do? Do you have barbecue?
We have barbecues on November 17th. We're having a gospel luncheon. Last Saturday, we had a semi-formal luncheon. November 30th, we're having a family day. We have over 40 events that we offer to families.
40?
Yes.
Wow. Now, are you explicit about what the fundraisers are for? Do you come right out and tell people that this money is so that we can put up some reward money?
Yes. Yes, we do. We also generate flyers throughout the neighborhood where the victim was murdered to the community to let them know that we will be raising money to offer a reward for information.
And how does it work after that? Do people actually give information up at the fundraisers? Do police come to the fundraisers to collect information, or is there some place they're supposed to go after it? How does that work?
Well, in my brother's case, during the fundraiser, someone called in and said that he knew where the perpetrator was, and we went and met with him, and the person wasn't there. And then the very next day, he called my house, and we went down to the shelter where the guy was, and we called Philadelphia police, and they came with us. They assisted my brother in arresting the person. Tyrone Campbell, whose event was last week, Tyrone was, from what I gather from his family, a very nice young man. Had never been in any trouble with the law. He was religious, just a nice young guy. Tyrone was a 20-year-old gentleman who worked for SEPTA. He was staying with his sister, and he was going to work. I think he had to be there at 6 o'clock in the morning, and he missed his bus, so he decided to walk up toward Broad Street. As he approached Broad Street, they attempted to rob him, and they murdered him.
And has anyone been apprehended in that case?
No, that's the case where someone had told me they do know who did it, and they're just waiting to find out the figures, how much money we're going to offer.
How does that make you feel? I mean, on the one hand, you're doing something to get the wheels turning. On the other hand, it almost sounds like some of these people are negotiating with you.
Whatever it takes to get these people off the streets, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. If it's money, then so be it. I think about what my mother's going through, and I don't want anybody else's mother to go through it. And if I can stop it some way or help them in any way, that's me giving back to my brother.
Is that hard for you, though, if somebody walks up to you and says, you know, I know something that could solve this crime, but I'm waiting to see how much money is involved? I mean, forgive me, but doesn't that make you just want to reach out and punch them in the face?
Yeah, maybe it sent chills through my body. His mother was standing right there with me when the gentleman said it. It makes you want to just punch him in the face, so to speak. It's sad that it comes with a cost, because these people's families, they're victims now, and they just need help. They don't know what to do. They don't know where to turn to. They're afraid. They're hurting. They just don't know what to do.
What's the range of what you offer?
There is no range. It's what we raise. Whatever we raise is what we offer.
How do the police feel about what you're doing?
They love it. The detective that was on my brother's case, he was thankful. Detective that's on the cases that we work with, it, we was told that from the family members that they said it's a great thing that we're doing.
Do you ever worry that you're bidding up the cost of information, that people start to up the ante, you know, and need more and more and more?
No, that has never crossed my mind.
Well, how are you feeling about things? How are you doing?
I think that my brother is leading this fight here. He's giving me the energy. I focus all my energy on helping other families through him.
Well, good luck to you and good luck to your family.
Thank you.
We've heard throughout today's program about the thousands of men and quite a few women who turned out yesterday to support a call for volunteer peacekeepers to help Philadelphia curb crime and violence in its toughest neighborhoods. Susan Phillips from member station WHYY in Philadelphia was there too, listening to those who'd gathered for It's a New Day program.
Greg Brown. I was in jail for possession with intent to deliver. Like, I was just recently incarcerated. I've been on for like 2 months. I done had like 7, 8 family members die. About 3, 4 people died while I was incarcerated. And that's bad. Like, I'm saying, you gotta do something. And I'm here to represent. I'm here to represent putting guns down. I'm here to represent peace. For me being incarcerated, I've realized that when I was out there selling drugs, it was pretty much worse than me carrying a gun. Like, I might as well have just been carrying a gun. Because I come from a family where both of my parents was addicts. So it turned me the wrong way. My mind is not on what it's supposed to be at 21 years old. Right now, I'm supposed to be in community college right now. I'm supposed to be working on a career. But due to my bringing up, that's just what happened.
Corrine Everett. I actually don't live in Philadelphia. I live in Phoenixville. And I feel like if we don't stop it here, stop the violence and, you know, the murder, if we don't stop it here in Philadelphia, it's going to spread to other communities. So I feel like there should have been a lot more people here, people actually of a lot of different races, because there are not only black people being killed in Philadelphia, there are Asian people, Latino people, white people being killed in Philadelphia also. So if it's not stopped here in the big city, then it's going to spread to the even smaller city. So, and I have 2 sons, you know, I have 2 good boys, and I want them to stay like that.
Burke Stinson. And I know nothing gets accomplished if you just sit around and watch and read the newspapers and wring your hands. So, although I don't know what I'm about to find out in there, I thought I would at least volunteer my services. I'm registered, and I hope to be able to come away with some good ideas and put into action some of the points that they make.
Louis Carrasculo. I'm from North Philadelphia. I live right in the Badlands. I hear gunshots every night, every day. Where are we getting all these guns from? I don't make guns. Do you make guns? I've never seen so many guns in a poor community in my whole life, ever.
Jerry Wilson. Well, I used to be a former gang member. I actually saw folks killed over drugs war, even down at the age of 12. So I'm tired of it. I'm tired to see my younger brothers that dying for no reason. I actually believe that this time we're going to get it right and stop this violence. We need to get back into the school and correct some of these bad habits with the kids is going through. And most importantly, it's time for the black man to take on his rightful place.
What is that?
As the head of the family. So only we could have the capability of doing it. So I brought my brother-in-law, one of my cousin, and one of my son. We got to change the behavior of the young folks. See, they don't love themselves. So we got to reteach them about they are greater. They don't realize they are great. And that's where we got to bring that to their attention. And once we nip that, everything else will fall as like a domino effect that fall in place of what righteousness and the right thing what they need to be doing.
The crime and violence in Philadelphia has reached deep into the heart of the city. Even well-known musicians there aren't immune. We talk with one half of the group Jazzy Fat Nasties, Mercedes Martinez. Also, the husband and wife duo from Kindred, The Family Soul, Fatin Dantzler and Asia Graydon. All live in the city and all spoke with us from their homes about what's happening in Philadelphia, what they're worried about, and how they hope things will change.
My name is Mercedes Martinez, and I am one of the members of the alt soul pop duo Jazzy Fat Nasties, and one of the founders of the Black Lily Women in Music series. Can you feel? My son's name is Rakim. He's 5 years old now, and I worry about him growing up in Philadelphia because I wonder what things will look like in terms of the poverty, the violence, etc. 10 years from now. You know, will we have addressed these core issues? Will we have made enough headway in order for there to be a bright future for him here instead of what looks like could be pretty dismal? I see a lot of great things about Philadelphia, but I see a lot of the things that are, I believe, sort of the issues at the core of, you know, a lot of the problems, particularly with violence. And, you know, there's a lot of homelessness and, you know, there's a shelter close to where I live, and I see people every day lined up, you know, just to get food to eat. So, you know, there's definitely, I think, a problem with poverty.
My name is Fatin Dantzler, and I am a father and a husband, and I'm also an R&B singer. I make music with my wife.
My name is Aja Graydon. I'm a recording artist, and I record with a group called Kindred, The Family Soul. We sing R&B soul music, and we've put out 2 albums, and we are currently working on our third. I'm originally from Washington, D.C., and certainly there are a lot of parallels between what's happening in Philadelphia and what happened in D.C. in the 80s and the early 90s, and the violence that's happening now seems to not really be linked solely to the drug game or the crack game, where in D.C. at that time, you know, that was really the reason. And right now, I think it's just, you know, there's really no one can put their finger on exactly why everyone is so angry at each other. In terms of my children, too, of course, I worry very much about. I live in the inner city. I mean, I live in the city. I don't live in the suburbs. I live in Philadelphia, in the heart of Southwest Philly, which is, you know, could be called University City or Cedar Park. But, you know, when my husband was a kid, it was Southwest Philly. I live pretty much right near UPenn. And the thing about it is that I do worry about my children. I worry every time they go out to play. I worry every time I have to be, you know, I'm concerned about them at all times. And certainly, I'm sure part of that is the paranoia of being a mother, but certainly it has a lot to do with what's going on and how no child seems to be untouchable.
A lot of the kids, you know, they'll open up and they'll embrace the adults if they feel like there's a genuine interest in them and what they have going on or what they have to offer. But a lot of times I think adults make children feel like they're less than. And, you know, the kids have, they have high aspirations. They want to do different things. They want to be a part of what's going on. And a lot of times also, though, kids can be very spiteful and very mean to adults when they want to get involved with them as well. And I guess it just depends on the upbringing and the types of things that they have going on at home. They're not, you know, very respectful and things of that nature. I guess that's why there's 10,000 men, you know, realizing that it takes a village to raise a community, you know, and that we have to step up where the fathers and the parents who are not around for these children and be in these children's lives, mentor them and, you know, keep them safe and keep them looked out for and watched over, because there's not always somebody positive or beneficial in their lives.
That was Mercedes Martinez of the Jazzy Fat Nasties and Fatine Dantzler and Asia Graydon of Kindred the Family Soul, with their own music and in their own words. And that's our program for today, focusing on Philadelphia and efforts to combat crime and violence there. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow.